Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday, final hour for us. A Dukes and Bell coming up in an hour from right now, live from the Army-Navy game. Army-Navy game going to be played, obviously, tomorrow afternoon, Landover, Maryland. So they're in the D.C. area getting ready for that awesome, awesome annual event. We'll check in with those guys in about an hour, and obviously they'll be broadcasting from there all afternoon. Me and Randy can be broadcasting from Las Vegas on Monday and Tuesday. So very much looking forward to that. Hopefully, if you're headed out there, you can come by and see us at the Overhang Bar on Sunday night from 7 to 9, a little welcome party for Falcons fans. We're going to watch some Sunday night football, hang out, have a good time, and then we'll do the show from Vegas on Monday and Tuesday. The Hawks are in Vegas on Saturday night to take on the Bucks in the NBA Cup. If they win that game, they're in the final. That'll be played Tuesday night. So a lot of fun stuff going on. A lot of Vegas-related action, not just, you know, the normal Vegas-related action that we have most weekends as sports fans. Games actually taking place in Vegas of note, as far as we're concerned here in Atlanta. We'll get back into the Hawks coming up in about 20 minutes as well. We'll talk about that game tomorrow and just sort of check in on a lot of the stuff that's gone on early season with them, and an AMA at 1:40 as well to wrap things up. Any question, any topic, we'll get the phone lines open. You can ask us anything you want.
I was supposed to go to Vegas. I've never been to Las Vegas. Oh. I was supposed to go for my 35th birthday a couple years ago. I had some buddies from LA who were going to drive over, and we were going to make a whole weekend or weekend plus out of it. COVID hit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it ruined a lot of plans. I was supposed to go to Austin to a bachelor party. I'd never been to Austin, and COVID ruined that as well. My bachelor party was in Vegas, actually. Only time I've been.
Now, I don't know if I'm ever going to get married, but if I do, I have a plan for a bachelor party.
Okay.
I want to go to the College World Series.
All right.
There's great steakhouses in Omaha.
All right.
There's a casino across the river in Iowa.
Okay.
And then there's the College World Series. I think it'd be a fun couple of days.
And you'll be the bachelor. So it's up to you. You know, you do what you want.
Yeah.
Some people do, you know, Vegas. Some people do.
My brother probably would be like, trips. Yeah, we're not doing that.
Some people want to go to the College World Series.
Not planning that.
But it sounds like you planned it out already.
I think it'd be fun.
It's the College World Series, so you're going to games, right?
Yeah, and you got casinos.
Casinos
right
and steakhouses, and you're good
steakhouse,
to go.
Steakhouse, yeah.
Not just like in a different way, like if you package it differently and you're like, hey, I want to have my bachelor party in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah,
a lot of people would be like, what do you want?
That's a tough
sell. Why do you
want
to do that? Yeah.
That's a tougher sell. But, you know.
But I get what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, you're a huge sports fan, huge college baseball fan, I assume. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty big. Okay. I've never had a bad time at the College World Series.
Oh, so you've been. So you already know what you're getting yourself into.
Oh,
and, all right. Yeah, that's all. Sounds good.
A little hot. A little toasty.
Yeah, Vegas was hot. We went to Vegas bachelor party in July, so it was. But you know what? The casinos are air conditioned, and they got a lot of cold drinks, so you can figure out a way to stay cool. Anyway, we'll be in Vegas starting on Sunday. We'll be back on Tuesday, hopefully. We'll see what happens. You never know what happens out that way. All right, let's get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
Bow.
A little flat.
I think we got to go out there and we got to find a way to rally around Kurt. We got to get around Kurt. We got to find ways to get it better. And I got a lot of confidence that he's going to get it better. And I got a lot of confidence in the guys that's around him that's going to play a lot better and do some different things as well.
I hope so.
Can we rally around someone else? Maybe Bijan, maybe Ebikadi. Like, well, can we not leave it in Kirk's hands to rally the team?
Well, here's the thing. Those guys don't really need to be rallied around right now. They're doing pretty good. Like, Bijan's averaging 4.5 yards a carry. He's about to go over 1,000 this Monday. And he gets 23 yards. Algiers averaging 5 yards a carry. Running backs are doing their job.
Maybe they should have more than, like, 35 touches.
Now, I do
think... Like, get up to, like, 45.
I do think that's an interesting idea. Because what we're doing, maybe directly, maybe indirectly, is trying to come up with ways to limit the dangerous throws that Kirk Cousins has been making. The problem is, the interceptions have not just come on dangerous throws.
Yeah, let me ask you that question.
The interceptions have come on all different types of throws.
Let me ask you that question. How many times do you see Kirk rearing back to throw and you're like, yeah, man, we're going to get a first down? Versus the amount of times we're like, who's in coverage and where is this going?
The look on my face right now when Kirk Cousins throws the ball is the look on Kirk Cousins' face.
What's going to happen on the other end of this?
I'm gritting my teeth and I'm bearing it. Like, I'm getting ready for something bad to happen. Earlier in the year, almost every time, that Tampa game, especially the second Tampa game when he had already done what he did the first time, there was a lot of confidence in the ball coming out of
his hands. Yeah, because he plants and throws and you're like, he's got someone.
Yep.
The last time I thought that, it was...
Cowboys game?
No. Whatever that was in the end zone a couple of weeks ago where he just floated it into a quadruple pack of defenders.
Yes, when that ball came out of his hand.
And I thought for sure when he started to take off,
yes.
And then instead of running, he flipped it. I'm like, oh, someone got lost in coverage and they're wide open.
Instead of running or just a little flip to Bijan who was kind of coming open... When quarterbacks flip the ball that into the end zone.
There's no one within 10 yards of a receiver.
Nine times out of 10, it's like, oh, this is a layup.
That was the one time.
Yes.
And that was the last time I had confidence in where he was throwing, what he was throwing to.
Okay, so I think that was the fourth quarter against the Chargers. So,
yeah, that was it.
A while
ago. Am I wrong for that? Like, I don't think so.
No. No,
I don't want to see him double clutch. Honestly,
anytime he double clutches, he needs to just eat the ball.
Yeah, throw it away, check it down, I guess. Yep. But don't go to whatever receiver you were planning on.
Here's the thing about the next couple of weeks, though, and I'm not trying to jinx anything. Not that we have any control over it anyway, but like these teams that the Falcons are about to play, the Raiders and the Giants.
Yes.
Are the two worst teams
they
in the NFL.
They are competing, both of them, not one of them, both of them, for the number one overall
pick. These are the two worst teams in the NFL. They're the only two teams in the league that have two wins. The Giants are 16-point underdogs at home. The Raiders are only 4-point underdogs.
Can I give you another piece of scar tissue here, though?
Sure.
And I know I've mentioned this to you before.
Sure.
That's the discussion we were having.
What?
When the Saints came and had lost seven in a row.
That's
been burned by this before of it's the worst team in the NFL, blah, blah, blah.
I'm not saying that to guarantee anything.
I know you're not.
I'm simply saying that to say, like, the Vikings have a pretty good defense with a good defensive coordinator. They're certainly opportunistic. I think they lead the NFL in interceptions. They have 20 now. The Chargers have a quite good defense. And again, Kirk threw it to them. Like he gave them a lot of opportunities to take the ball away from him. But those are pretty solid defenses that have made other quarterbacks pay before. I'm not sitting here trying to make excuses for Kirk Cousins. Anybody who's listened to the show the last couple of weeks, I think would know very clearly where the frustrations lie about the way that he's playing. But even if he plays well over the next couple of weeks against the Raiders and the Giants, I'm still gonna worry about, all right, well, now let's see it against the Commanders, who aren't the best defense in the NFL, but certainly better than those two teams. And I'm still gonna worry even in the final week of the season against the Panthers.
Right.
I'd like to worry while winning. I'd like to worry while he's not turning the ball over. But back to the original, people probably weren't with us or maybe were at 11 o'clock, but one of the original topic questions of the show was, is there anything Kirk Cousins can do on Monday to get your trust back? And there just isn't any way to get it all the way back in one game against the Las Vegas Raiders. But he can start working his way back towards it. Because you asked me before the show, what can Kirk Cousins do to get your trust back? I didn't know you meant Monday or whatever. I said, win a playoff game.
Yeah.
You're going to have to win a playoff game in order to get my trust back. And then we'll talk.
And I only ask that because it just feels like so many fans are in the same position a lot of us are, but probably myself included, where I just don't know if I believe in this team right now. And can I see something on Monday that gets me back to believing this team can accomplish something? And I think you're right. Like, probably not. Like, it would be a nice step.
Yeah. Now, the flip side of that is, and this is a hard place for the Falcons to be in, but they've put themselves in this place. Like, you can go out there on Monday night and win by 2 points, whatever. A win is a win, and we'll be happy. We'll keep it moving. Not happy, but we'll keep it moving. It's better than the alternative. You can win by 3 touchdowns, and the reaction is going to be, well, yeah, you should do that. It's the Raiders. They're bad. But again, that would help. That would help ease people's minds a little bit. You lose this game. Like, there's so much more to lose on Monday night than there is to gain.
The reward of
on
a
Monday
win
night.
Does not
the reward
equal
of a win
the,
is like, okay, thank
risk
God
of a
we
loss.
Can
yeah.
exhale
yeah.
briefly, and then all right, then the Giants are next. Maybe you can exhale again. He loses football game against the Raiders. Like, all bets are off as far as what happens next.
The other thing is we're going to know by the time we're anywhere close to kickoff Monday what the Bucs do.
Yeah.
And that's part of this equation, too, because if they don't lose to the Chargers, that was kind of what you're counting on.
Yeah.
That you can get back into first place with a win over the lowly Raiders.
Yeah, that's a great
if
point.
If that's not on the table.
Yeah, it's already a must-win game, which is crazy. You've played yourself into a must-win situation against the Raiders on Monday Night Football. But if the Bucs beat the Chargers, like, it's desperate. Not that you can do anything. You just got to win the game, period. But that's their hardest remaining game. The Bucs have the Chargers, and then they have 3 real winnable games to finish the season. You need them to lose a game, and you got to go undefeated down the stretch in order to catch them and win the tiebreaker. So, yeah, man, it's almost hard to – well, it's not. We've talked about it all week, but it's crazy that this is where they've played themselves into, given where they were not that long ago. But that's why they say the NFL is the best reality show. Doesn't feel like it right now. Feels like the worst reality show.
I would like to turn it off.
Yeah, feels like the worst reality show, all right? Everyone always says that. It's the best reality show. You never know what's going to happen. Is that true? Because it feels like we always
honestly,
know what's
going to
happen.
Honestly, as an Atlanta fan, Falcons know. And beyond, I think we had a pretty good idea.
Yeah. They were 6-7 last year at this point.
Well.
They're 5-8 the year before at this point. You never know. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. We just tell ourselves we don't because we don't want to believe it. They're going to win on Monday. Are the Hawks going to be in the NBA Cup final on Tuesday, though? They got to beat the Bucks tomorrow afternoon. I think they can. Obviously, they beat the Bucks last week, so they certainly can. We'll talk about how they can do it, where the Hawks at are just in general right now as a team, coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket, and if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know the rules. Am I allowed to do any of the stuff that Randy does?
I don't know if there's any rules. You're just not supposed to woo.
I know that rule.
I guess that's a rule. Well, I mean, there's like stuff you certainly shouldn't say that Randy says, but that, you know, that's more of like a general.
I just meant on like the song. The song.
You could have said, "Boy, you could say."
I voiced it. I just didn't turn my mic on.
Oh,
you want to do it real fast?
No,
you want me to start it over?
No, it's going to be weird now.
It's Friday at 1:20 on a happy hour.
It's weird now.
He can start it. Want to start the song over?
Let's try it again.
Okay, here we go. You can do it.
Booyaka!
Yeah!
Yeah, see, it's not too weird.
No! So you overthought it. You made it weird. It wouldn't have been weird if you would have just done it. It's one of those things.
But it might circle back, Randy.
Don't think
Randy finds out through back channels and now I'm in trouble.
No, there's no trouble. Randy would be happy that you did that. Like, that's the kind of thing that he'd be like, hell yeah, Abe. Like, remember the other day you said that, like,
innuendo.
The innuendo, very sexual innuendo. Yeah. You obviously did it on purpose. It was really funny. He loved it. He made him so happy. It's like one of the most proud moments he's ever had with
you. The bond definitely drew closer.
Yeah, the bond strengthened.
And with the Buika. That was
all right.
Yeah.
Next up, he'll let me woo.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No,
I don't know.
He didn't let the Godfather Sam Crenshaw do the woo, and he straight up told him no, you cannot do it.
Yeah, don't do the woo. Don't do the woo. We let. There's only one. When Randy's out, Ric Flair does the woo. Okay, and that's how it works. Now there was one other woo that I forgot to mention to you, and I'll tell you later because I don't know when the next time Randy's out is, but we can use it for that. But there was one other woo that was really amazing. Remember when we were at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta? And at 1 o'clock, everybody that was there wooed. There was a couple Falcons players, a bunch of the kids, and all of us. Everybody wooed in unison. Maybe if we can find that, maybe next time we'll use that one because that's
still out there.
It's pretty good. Yeah, yeah, we'll use that. All right, final hour of the show. No, it isn't. It's two segments left. I thought it was 1 o'clock. Look at that. Time flies when you're having fun talking about the Falcons. We'll get into a Hawks conversation in just a minute as they take on the Milwaukee Bucks tomorrow afternoon, by the way. Tomorrow afternoon. That's a 4:30 game in the NBA Cup semifinal. For a chance to go to the NBA Cup final, and who knows, man. Maybe win the thing, and that would be really fun. And it's only the second one that's ever happened. Lakers won it last year. Maybe the Hawks could do it this year. I did see yesterday, or maybe it was this morning, on ESPN. They do have the worst odds of the four teams.
They've had the worst odds the whole time, though.
They had the worst odds going back to group play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were in a group with the Cavs and the Celtics.
Yeah.
And they beat them both.
Yeah.
In order to get here.
They don't want none.
Yeah.
Want none?
I don't know if I'm going, okay. Well, you know what? Maybe that's true. They're here.
But here's the other thing, and it's like, I know we're looking at this microscope of the NBA Cup here, but like, what if we're in a situation where we took out the Cavs twice, we beat the Celtics, right?
Yeah.
Twice.
Twice?
Once? I don't remember.
Yeah, and it was in the Cup. Remember, it was that weird game where...
It was the one without Trey on the road. Yep. We beat them. Yep. We're potentially getting our second win over the Bucks, and... You start to ask the question, like, all right, man, like, could they do this in the playoffs? Like, I think it's a fair question to ask because I think teams are treating this NBA Cup legitimately.
Mm-hmm.
I do. Like, after the other night,
yeah.
and they had already taken out New York once, do the Knicks scare you in the playoffs?
No, the Knicks don't scare me at all. And you know, obviously they're a bit more... proven as a group,
sure,
with what they did in the playoffs the last couple of years, certainly. But it's a different group. Like, they're still trying to figure out exactly how they function with Karl Anthony Towns being one of the focal points of their offense. And, you know, statistically, he's been really good. Like, he's really helped there. I will say, like, and it happened the other night in the game against the Hawks in the knockout game in the NBA Cup, as things intensify in games like that, Karl Anthony Towns tends to make mistakes and dumb fouls and keep himself off the court, which he did in that game. He did it a ton last year in the playoffs for the Minnesota Timberwolves. So that's something that they're going to have to navigate. But no, the Knicks don't scare you. The Heat are falling apart, and Jimmy Butler maybe wants out. He says he doesn't, but Shams says he does, and Shams said, trust me, Jimmy can say whatever he wants. The Magic are dealing with more injuries than anybody in the NBA. Now, they're still quite good. And then, yeah, the Hawks play the Bucks tomorrow, and they beat them a couple weeks ago. But you're right. Like, if you look at the recent track record, because with this Hawks team, I mean, hand in the air, they're already better than I thought that they were going to be. I've said that a couple times. I thought this was going to take a lot longer than it has for certain guys to really solidify what their roles are. I didn't know Dyson Daniels was going to be what he is. You have a guy who's legitimately elite at something on your team the way that he is.
But I think
it changes the calculus for what your team can be.
The thing, though, that makes Dyson special is that he's not a black hole on offense either.
Right, that's right.
And I think when you add what he can bring on offense with what the obvious expectations were on defense,
yeah,
that was, to me, what was unexpected, yeah, is that you don't have guys that can only play one side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is getting it done.
He is. And again, like, you, it's so nice to have, obviously, Trey. Like, Trey has been elite offensively for years, and at times it's been enough to make the Hawks a winner and competitive. At times it hasn't been, and we don't have to sort of relitigate all that, but he is an elite offensive player. He's playing a little differently than he has in years past, but he's an elite offensive player. Jalen Johnson also being an elite offensive player makes life so much easier for Dyson Daniels. Capella is very good at what he's asked to do, but obviously he's not asked to do all that much offensively. But neither is Dyson Daniels. Like, he's the fourth option most times on offense when he's out there. And then if he's out there with Hunter or Bogey or whatever, like, there's times where he just really isn't involved outside of spacing the floor on offense, and then he can really focus defensively. Again, what I'm getting at is, it's not surprising to me that at some point this year they got to some of this stuff with Jalen really emerging and solidifying himself in what his role is, Dyson doing what he's doing, Capella. I mean, the biggest bright spot is DeAndre Hunter off
sure.
the bench. Like, even with Dyson maybe being in contention for Defensive Player of the Year, like, nobody thought DeAndre Hunter was going to be this type of player off the bench. I mean, he's a legitimate sixth man of the year candidate for the way that he's playing in that role. And again, that's just another role that's been defined and solidified in a team that for so long was like, all right, what's this guy do? I know what Trey does. I think I kind of know, all right, I know what Capella does. I know what his role is. What's John Collins being asked to do? It's kind of different than what it used to be. You know what I mean? Like, for every single year, the last 4 years, it's kind of like, what does this guy really do? Right now, it's so obvious what all these guys are being asked to do. And because of that, it's come together a lot more quickly than
we're not
I
even
that
to the
would.
30th yeah. game of the year. This is a team that I know right now they're the 7th seed. A day ago, they were the 5th seed.
Yeah, it's all
right?
they're
a half game out. The question for me is how this run in the NBA Cup, and potentially if they continue to advance, maybe changes the expectations in the regular season. Because I think the Hawks are very good. I think they can beat anyone in the league potentially. I don't know if they can focus and bring it on a given day, right? Over the course of the entire season. I think they can dial it in as need be when games matter. That, to me, feels like it might still be the difference between them and what the Celtics can do or whomever.
Well, yeah, it's one of the differences.
Yeah, right. I'm not saying it's the only difference, but like on the days where they just don't really necessarily want to have it, they're probably not going to win that game. Other teams maybe find ways, but that doesn't bother me that much, if we're going to be honest. Like, fighting for a 1 seed or a 2 seed, if I believe that they can have it in the playoffs and be a problem, I think I'm okay if you slip and slide ups and downs a little bit over the course of a regular season for a team that, as you said, probably got here a little quicker than we thought. Do we have to remain here, I guess, is the question based on success in the NBA Cup, especially if they get past the Bucks.
I'm probably a little recency bias on this, but
right. They
haven't had a ton. I mean, they've obviously played up and down to their competition a bit, but they haven't had like huge lulls lately outside of games where they didn't have their guys. Like, since they've gotten the full complement of players back, since DeAndre,
and we
really
knew they punted
the lineup,
on Denver last week.
That's what I mean. Like, they lost by 30 points in that game, but there was a couple guys not playing, maybe load managing, which kind of seems
100%.
Like it was based on the way that they played the not too long after that. But I've always said, like, in this era of the NBA where so many teams are load managing, and so many teams, especially good teams, take nights off just based on opponent, road back to back, stuff like that. Like, if you're a team that goes out there, health is a big part of it. But if you're a team that goes out there and like really gives high effort, high energy most nights, like you're going to be in the playoffs. Like the Hawks didn't have the talent the last couple of years to do it.
Okay.
And then they had injury issues and they also had effort issues. But like if you go out there and you're given high effort, like the Knicks won 50 games a couple of years ago just by trying hard.
Right.
Like you can do that in this modern NBA because there's 20 wins just built in on back to backs and teams load managing and teams being bad and tanking late in the year and stuff like that. Maybe even more than 20 wins built in. Like I think the Hawks are well equipped to take advantage of that at this point.
I think recency bias is playing too much on you right now because you are talking about 8 games. Because 8 games ago the Hawks were 7-11. They had just lost to that Chicago team that was one of the worst in the NBA. Mm-hmm. They lost on the road in that group of games before that to Portland, who, same thing, on a given night they can compete, but they're one of the worst teams in the NBA, potentially. I do think recency bias is part of that. And we've seen them win, what, 6-7 or 7-8?
Seven of eight
right now. What's to say we can't have another downturn, and not 7-8 necessarily, but where we lose 3 of 5? Or 3 of, 4 of 5. And then, you know, I don't know. I just, how much can this rise hold over the course of a long season versus can you dial it in for stretches?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously that's going to be one of the big questions as the season
rolls on. And the other thing
on.
Is you have to stay healthy. That has been probably the biggest aspect of the run is that early in the season, you were dealing with a couple of things, mm-hmm. and now that you have gotten healthy, with the exception of a decision to rest guys for NBA Cup play, you've been off and running,
mm-hmm.
and it looks good. I think we've also seen guys that have sometimes gotten pressure put on them because of recent performances that maybe slide back a little bit. I think early in the season, Dyson Daniels was like, oh, defensive player of the year. He's been very good since we had that discussion, mm-hmm. but he kind of slowed down a little bit.
Yeah, it's also...
And I think, I wonder if we see a little bit of that from Hunter as well.
Probably. I mean, he's probably not going to average 20 points a game off the bench. If he does, it would be incredible. He'll probably win Sixth Man of the Year. But yeah, probably. He'll probably regress just a little bit. The other thing about Daniels is we didn't know he was going to be playing like this. The NBA...
I have to imagine New Orleans didn't, or they wouldn't have moved them.
No, nobody did.
Right.
Nobody
agreed.
Did. I know that there's some like, you know, like super duper, like in the weeds, Hawks, podcast, blog, like people that are really in it that maybe like predicted it, and that's
the
fine.
Super triple double advanced statistic people,
the folks that
say that this
just sickos, like the people that are flat out Hawks.
He
sickos.
Covers 20 feet faster than anyone else since so and so sort of stats.
Maybe they had an indicator, but the rest of the league didn't know this was going to happen either.
Yeah.
But now his name's out there, and we've seen some of the, you know, some of the really kind of elite perimeter guys be like, all right, let's see what this guy's got. And kind of test him a little bit. Like, Steph kind of got the best of him a little bit. And it's Steph. But, like, guys are going to go at him a little because now his name is in that conversation about great defensive players in the NBA. You know, like, the big guy that blocks a lot of shots. Guys
right.
want to dunk on him.
Yeah.
Dyson Daniels is supposed to be, like, the perimeter lockdown guy.
The
great scorers are going to want to test that.
The big challenge to me, and I don't know if they'll get it would take an NBA Cup Finals berth, and it would take the other side winning as well. The big challenge to me would be SGA. That's the matchup I'd want to see Dyson Daniels and see how he does. Because that's a big, bigger guy, long guy that handles the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's hesitance.
I'd like to see
I get that. Me
I'd
too.
Like to see it because it would be the NBA Cup
yeah,
final.
Yeah, there you go.
That dude.
No, I know. He dropped 39 the other night.
He
I know.
Might be trying to think. Go this far? He might be the best player in the NBA right now. Like all around. I don't know who. I mean, there's 3 or 4 guys in the conversation.
I mean, it's still Joker in my opinion, but like, yeah,
fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. Obviously, they play so differently and it looks different, but yeah, no, fair enough. But he's right up there.
Yeah,
man, love to see it though. That'd be Tuesday night in Vegas. That'd be the NBA Cup final. Got to beat the Bucks tomorrow first though. 4:30 tip. Let me make sure I got this right. Is it? It is right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pregame at 4. Tip off at 4:30. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up with an AMA. Hey, load the phone lines up on a happy hour Friday. 404-726-0929. Ask us anything. Me, Abe, Bo, we'll do our best to answer any question you got coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brought to you by Right From The Heart, rightfromtheheart.org. The AMA to wrap the show up every single day. A couple phone lines available if you do want to jump on hold and get a question in. 404-726-0929. Abe made a strong point during the break. Forgot it's Friday the 13th. Be careful out there.
Didn't it feel like we have a lot more Friday the 13th now that we're adults than we ever did as kids? Is that just me?
I think we have the same amount, probably.
Yeah, I mean, calendar-wise and like... chances of it happening, probably.
It's really just not something that I ever think about. Like, it really doesn't, I guess I'm not all that superstitious as far as that goes.
I also don't care if it came close. Like, it's, Friday the 12th.
Friday the 14th. Man, yeah. We just missed one.
I feel like that was a thing as a kid, too.
Yeah. I don't, also, we don't really, like, Friday the 13th movies came out so long ago. Maybe when we were kids, we cared more because it was more recent to the movie coming out. I don't know. Anyway, if you're superstitious and worried about that, be careful out there. Look out for black cats. Derek is in Charlotte. Hey, Derek.
What's up, fellas? You guys kind of just took my question. I was going to say, are your superstitions for Friday the 13th worse as a child or as an adult? That's my first question. And my second question is, do you believe NIL goes up at UNC? And how many televised games do you think that they will have this year? And I agree with Abe. The Hawks are playing B-plus basketball in a weak Eastern Conference. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Derek.
I didn't say
that. Did you say that?
No, I didn't. I raised my hand. I raised my hands because he was like, I agree with Abe. I'm like, yeah, I got him.
I think Abe was a bit more optimistic on how they're playing than I am. But anyway, I think every UNC game will be televised. I'm willing to go that far. They will. They'll all be televised.
ACC Network and stuff. Sure.
TV? They'll all be on TV. Now, will they all
Thursday night games?
Will they all be on national TV, whatever that means? No, they won't.
But ESPN2?
Probably more.
ESPN2 against Virginia Tech feels apt.
The first game of the season against TCU will be on a big network.
That might be Fox.
That'll happen. If they play well, then they'll keep getting them. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's not. That's the cool thing about college is they can kind of make that call as the season goes.
You know how bad your like opponent has to be for you not to be televised somewhere?
Yeah, they're all televised one way or the other. It's just a matter
of... ACC network windows. Wake Forest plays Virginia over there. Yeah. Like, those games happen on TV.
Now, I guess there was a couple Washington Huskies games this year that weren't technically televised. They were streamed on Peacock. So
I had them. I watched
them. I had it, too. I watched it on my TV. But, you know, I don't know. However you want to put that. Oh, the NIL, by the way, has gone up. Their NIL budget has already quadrupled.
It's 5X.
It's gone five times.
You know that term after poker last night, a 5X bet.
So you got quadruple for four, triple for three, double for two. What's five?
Quintuple? Is that?
Quintuple? Is it? Okay.
But I would just say like 2X, 3X, quintuple. 4X, 5X.
Yeah, you don't really say kind of stop at quadruple. They're quadruple.
I would stop at triple.
Triple?
Yeah.
I like quadrupled.
Four times?
Yeah, four times. And then five times quintupled. Six times I think it's sextuple.
Yeah.
I like that one. Kind of fun. And then what's seven? We don't know. Nobody knows.
I don't know what morons here.
Ocho tuple.
Octuple.
You know what annoys me? Octopuses have eight legs, right?
Okay.
Octagons have eight sides.
Okay.
October, 10th month.
There's some conspiracies here that you don't want to get into.
It should be the eighth month. August should be October.
At one point, it was the eighth month. There's a whole thing.
What happened?
We don't have time.
You don't?
And I don't know the whole story.
Oh, you don't
but
know,
there's
okay.
a whole. There is a thing. There is a thing.
It's just as kids are trying to learn stuff like shapes and months, like Lily is right now.
I think they added
some of that stuff's confusing.
When did they add July and August?
I don't know.
Because those are the 2 months named after people.
Oh, they are?
Julius and Augustus.
Okay.
And like
okay.
September, October.
Might have been when they switched from the Julian calendar.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Oh, yeah, because September, yeah, same
I promise thing. You it was a thing. At one time, yeah, septuple.
Yeah, yeah.
At one time, October was the eighth month. I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't mean to get into this.
All I know is if they just one more month, then all the months will be 28 days.
Yeah,
yeah, that's its own. That's its own sense. Discussion. So, we get rid of daylight savings while we're at it.
We got to do leap years. So she's learning all that stuff. You know what I mean? She's also learning like measurements of weight, speed, time, stuff like that. She said, "What did she say?" She measured speed in length yesterday. Oh no, time
per
in
second.
Length. Time in length. She wanted to watch 2 more inches of Curious George. Like, can we just watch 2 more inches of it? And I was like, I don't know. What does that mean? Like, how long is an inch in time? What's the conversion rate? This is kind of, I don't know, kind of funny.
It's either too dumb or too smart, and I don't know which one.
Now, it might be, let's go with too smart. Let's lean too smart.
Fair enough.
Let's lean too smart. Because, like, when you're watching it on Disney, right, and you fast forward or rewind, there is the timeline, which you could break down into 2 inches could be like that.
Yeah, but 2 inches fast forwarding on a 48-inch TV
True.
And a 55-inch TV is not the same length of time.
That's a good point. All right, Keith is in Alpharetta. Hey, Keith.
There's some math for you.
Hey guys.
Hi,
Merry Christmas to you, Andy, Randy, Abe, and Bo.
Merry Christmas to you. Happy Hanukkah.
Thanks, man. So I got three questions, one for each of you guys. But first of all, man, Andy, I got a very sincere apology for you, man. No way did I intend to insult you or hurt your feelings when I called in a few weeks ago. I was just trying to be funny when I was talking that stupid stuff about the loofah and the soap. And
oh, dude, it didn't make me mad at all. It was very, very funny.
I didn't mean to insult you. You're on my Mount Rushmore of DJs there, man.
You didn't insult me. Look, you didn't insult me.
Okay. Cool, man. I pinch pennies so I can see the planet, too. So anyway, here's my three questions, one for each of you. So, Andy, when I get older one day, I'm going to buy an RV with my wife, and we're going to travel to the Pacific Northwest.
Me too.
So what are your three favorite national or state parks in the Pacific Northwest?
Okay.
And for Bo, Mr. Cajun Boy, what is your three favorite restaurants in New Orleans?
Ooh.
And then now for Abe. I'm not much of the cruiser. I did one in French Polynesia one time. So what's the coolest place you've ever been on a cruise? I'll leave that for you guys.
Merry Christmas. Thank you, Keith. Merry Christmas to you. And, yeah, I made a little retroactive joke about his call from a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
I wasn't mad at all. It was just really funny. And then it hit me later. I was like, yeah, no, it's kind of you can ask Randy stuff like that and me stuff like that. It was in no way from an angry place. I also want to do that too, by the way, when we get older and retire. Absolutely want to buy an RV and drive.
You're going to get one of those like pin things where you like pin
every
or scratch
you go
off
to,
or sticker or whatever it is. Yeah.
My favorite ones, you got to go to Mount Rainier. That's my favorite one in Washington. I would also go to the Olympic National Forest because that's out on the coast and it's a rainforest and it's so different and unique. And then Crater Lake in Oregon is a really cool place. Like it's one of the craziest geological, I guess, or just one of the craziest natural occurrences that you're ever going to see.
Is Yosemite technically Pacific Northwest?
Nah, it's like
I didn't know if that was counted into your consideration.
No, but I mean, yeah, if you can go there too. Yeah. I haven't been there yet.
Both top three restaurants in Nolens.
So I'm a huge fan of Drago's. And
yeah, good one.
Yeah,
I'd have gone with that one.
Now a lot of you know, there are elitists in every group of people. A lot of people will say that Drago's has now become too mainstream.
Uh-oh.
Don't care what you say. Great food.
People will be snobs about anything.
There are snobs about just about anything,
yeah.
Yes. And then there's like a New Orleans seafood company. The other two are both in the French Quarter. There's like a New Orleans seafood company. And I can't remember the name of it, but I think this may be it. Went to a place when Tara went down there in 21. It was the first place she ever had an oyster. I think it's New Orleans Seafood Company. It's got a big crab on the window, but it's right in the middle of the French Quarter.
Mother's on Poydras is very good.
Very tasty.
There's a barbecue spot called The Joint that's also very good in New Orleans. The cruise spot is interesting because I love Caribbean cruises. But if I had to be like probably one of my favorite cruises for different reasons, and Bo, I know you might be able to talk to this too, was actually in Alaska.
Mm,
so I thought going to Alaska was so cool.
I want to do that.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Other than that, Dunn's River Falls in Jamaica is always a top seed. I love that spot.
So I want to do the Norwegian cruise too.
I would also love it.
There's my mom and my European,
Italian some cruise over there where you get to.
My mom and my cousin Kelly are planning a Norwegian vacation next year. And they were like, you guys should come. And it's like, well, you should pay for it. I would love to. They're like, yeah, it's not that easy, but maybe someday, maybe someday. Yeah, they're just like actively planning it, telling me about it. Very jealous. Probably should get the takeaways of the day. Let's do it. Takeaways of the day every day to wrap up the show. Just one more reminder and mention that Monday and Tuesday and Sunday night, me and Randy will be in Las Vegas hanging out for the Falcons-Raiders game. Sunday night at the Overhang Bar at the Circa Hotel. Come by 7 to 9. Going to be a ton of fun. Monday and Tuesday be broadcasting from Circa as well, but can't wait. My takeaway of the day is that Abe has already planned his bachelor party, and he wants it to be in Omaha, Nebraska in the summertime.
Look, man, hey, I would go to that in a heartbeat. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Also, the College Baseball World Series will be happening at the time. I buried the lead.
Our guy Roddy Nabolsi said earlier that he doesn't want to blow any more smoke up Kirby's skirt.
Yeah, he did insinuate that Kirby was wearing a skirt. It was weird.
Vegas-related action can mean a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different things you can pack.
Yeah.
And all it takes is one good booyaka to get some little respect around here.
That's all you had to do. All these years, didn't know. All right, Dukes and Bell are broadcasting from the Army-Navy game. We'll check in with them coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.